Welcome to the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am Nate Schreiber, and as always, with my co-host, Alex Pollinger.
All right, we are here with our final edition of the position group breakdown before free agency. So today we're going to go over linebackers and cornerbacks. Those positions are pretty much settled for the starting spots for the most part. So I think we'll roll right through those for you guys quickly and then get on to NFL news from this week and what we expect when free agency legal tampering starts on Monday. So, Nate, tell us what the Bills have at linebacker on the roster, both for starters and backups.
So, there's two entrenched starters, really three entrenched starters, even though the third one doesn't play a ton of snaps. But Matt Milano, Tremaine Edmonds will be starting at weak side linebacker and middle linebacker. And then Lorenzo Alexander will probably start at strong side, but he doesn't play a ton of snaps most of the time. And the guys that are mainly on the – you really think the Bills' base defense is a nickel with really two starting linebackers.
Yeah, that's a good assessment. Alexander is a older guy they try to keep fresh, so they'll throw him in there as like a bull rusher, as a defensive tackle on third downs. Like you said, nickel's pretty much the base defense for the Bills and almost any team in the NFL today. So that kind of takes him off the field unless he's rushing the passer from the interior line. I believe they re-signed Deion Lacey, if I remember correctly, from a week or two ago.
Yeah, they signed him to the veteran minimum, I think, which is like $650,000 or something like that. So basically they're not paying him anything.
Yeah, so there's not a whole lot of depth behind Edmonds, Milano, Alexander. So I would expect the Bills to either add in free agency just some depth signings or, late round in the NFL draft this year.
Yeah, I would. They're certainly going to have to add depth, I think, both at the linebacker and the cornerback position. But they don't need to go into the draft free agency thinking, we got to find a top-notch starter out of this.
Yeah, I would look more along the lines of like Raphael Bush last year as a backup safety. They give him like 2 years, $4 million or something like that, somewhere in that range. I would expect to maybe see a veteran guy get signed that can play, a variety of positions, maybe weak side and middle or something. And they'll probably add something. Is Deion Lacey strong side? He might be strong side, so they might be set there for this year at least.
Yeah, I think The depth they're going to be looking for is someone who maybe can play multiple positions and also possibly contribute on special teams. That's the kind of player that they're going to be looking for. And I would, if I had to guess, I would say they're going to look more for a rookie to play that role, unless they find a veteran they're comfortable paying to potentially not play a ton of snaps or contribute a lot to the defense.
Yeah, so I'm not sure that there's anything else we can really add here. There's not no reason to really go down the list of free agents because I highly doubt the Bills go after anyone we really are familiar with. It's probably just going to be, an older guy that special teamer can play in a pinch if you have to on the defense. But Nate, unless you think so, we can move along to DBs.
Yeah, and I think DBs, we're going to see a similar situation as we see with the linebackers, right, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much everything's entrenched except maybe Levi Wallace at the second corner spot. But Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean really like Levi Wallace. Nate, we really liked it when they signed him as an undrafted free agent and wondered why it took so long to get on the active roster for him because he was on the practice squad for a while. He had a really good season. He was one of the highest graded corners or rookie corners for Pro Football Focus. And it's because he fits really well in this defense and what they ask him to do. He like EJ Gaines, it's primarily, a zone based scheme. So it's not a lot of being stuck one on one with receivers.
Yeah, and he was able to do, like you said, Alex, exactly what the Bills asked him to do. And if everyone stays healthy in this cornerback group, the Bills have a very solid foundation at the corner position going into next year. I still think that there's a very, very good chance they spend a high-ish draft pick on a cornerback, in the first three rounds or so. And I've even seen a couple mock drafts with them going cornerback at 9. So I do think cornerback is a bit more of a need than linebacker.
Yeah, that's a good point. Linebacker's more of depth they need. Corner, as we found out in the 2017 season, you can never have enough of them because the Bills rolled in with four almost every game, and it wasn't enough, especially when Sharice Wright was out there on the field. So I'd expect the Bills to add, you know, a good corner in free agency, or like you said, Nate, maybe in day one or two of the draft. I'm not so sure about one unless they have Greedy Williams really high on their board. But a guy that could fit in free agency, I think, is EJ Gaines.
Yeah, the Bills are clearly aware that EJ Gaines is able and willing to perform in their system. I think the biggest thing that's going to be tough with him is money. He last year, I think, played like on a 1 year, $4 million deal. But when he was, his value when he's on the field and healthy is a lot higher than that. And I don't know. I'm curious to see what he asked for and ends up getting.
Yeah, I think, did he get hurt again this past season, Nate? I don't remember him being on the field all that much for the Browns.
I am pretty sure that is the case. I'm going to see if I can figure that out because I don't know how many, I'm not sure how many games he played this past season. So he played in six games. So he's played in 17 total games the past two seasons and 28 total games the past three seasons. And he missed an entire season before that with injury.
Yeah, it's a guy that has durability issues. And like you said, he got 1 year, $4 million last year. And
that's correct, yeah.
I can't see him getting more than that now after he missed most of last season. So it's hard to make a case to pay a guy more money. He's another year older. He's 27 now. I could see the Bills kind of getting a bargain deal here. Maybe sign him like 1 or 2 years at maybe $2 million average annual value.
Yeah, and I think something for him that might make him strongly consider coming back to Buffalo if Buffalo wants him is how well he played when he was here. Because his value, before he got hurt in Buffalo, and was his value was sky high. And there's the if he can stay healthy for an entire season and play like that again, he's only 20. He'll be 27 years old this season. He'd be in line for a pretty nice contract.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys. Like we said with Levi Wallace, he's good at what the Bills asked him to do, which not every team plays zone-based schemes. I'm sure he knows he fits well in the Buffalo defense. So maybe, you know, EJ Gaines would come on a discount back to Buffalo, thinking he can beat Levi Wallace for the job, and if he stays healthy, he can go sign a big contract next year.
Yeah, because I think that's what teams are going to need to see from him before he gets that kind of money. Because his rookie year, he played in every game, but then since then he has missed more than half of the available games that he could have played in.
Yeah, so that's just one guy. Let's talk about the other corner spots. I kind of got stuck on Levi Wallace in the second corner spot because that's really the only question mark right now. But I'm really looking forward to seeing Taron Johnson in the nickel and hoping he can stay healthy there. I'd expect the Bills maybe to add a guy that can play corner and outside corner and nickel. Given the injury history there with Taron Johnson, he's a smaller guy. And then obviously Trey White's a stud, is the Bills' first cornerback.
Yeah, Taron Johnson, he plays so hard and because of his size. He's a guy that's probably going to have a hard time staying healthy. And that's something that the Bills are going to have to, because I don't think they can ask him to change the way he plays. But when he is healthy, he's a great nickel cornerback, and I think he does exactly what the Bills expected him to do when they drafted him last year in the fourth round.
Yeah, I mean, he was really good when he was on the field. He made a couple great plays that I remember. And I think he had that diving interception against the Titans where he kind of just cut off the throw in anticipation. I think that was the game, if I'm remembering it correctly. But there's definitely a lot of potential there if he can stay healthy. And like I said, I think the Bills are going to add at least one corner in free agency, if not two. That'll kind of tip the hand of what they plan in the draft if they do sign two corners in free agency.
Yeah, I would still expect them to draft a corner and just bring a ton of corners into camp because most of the guys that they have at that position are on contracts that are easily sheddable. So I would expect them to bring a lot of corners into camp and make it a really strong competition.
Yeah, they just had... Is Kevin Johnson, is that the right name, Nate, the guy that was just cut from the Texans?
Yeah, and they had him in for a visit.
Yeah, so that's someone that you have to pay a bit more money. He was due almost $9 million, I think, by the Texans. So he's probably going to get a nice contract from someone. That's definitely a sign that the Bills are looking to, you know, pay someone at corner if they have to, or maybe even expend, you know, a valuable draft pick on one.
Yeah, Kevin Johnson is a guy that I don't know if I would want to pay him that much because he did struggle a lot last year, and yes, he was worth $9 million, but he didn't play like it. But it does, to me, signal that the Bills are willing to spend money there.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting going forwards. I don't expect them to make any splash signings. It'll probably be, you know, an average, you know, what we would consider an average starting NFL corner if they do spend any significant amount of money. I can't see them spending more than like $5 million a year on a guy, though.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that. I don't think, while they do have the cap room, we all know how Brandon Bean and his staff think, and they're going to be judicious, even though they have the ability to go make a few splash signings.
Yeah, and as we've discussed in other pods, that's probably going to come at other positions. We'll quickly move to both safety spots. I mean, those are locked up with Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, both very good starting NFL safeties. Raphael Bush is still there as a backup for one more year. And I don't. Do they have another safety on the roster right now?
No, they do not. Oh, wait, they have Cyron Neal.
That's right, I forgot about him.
He's like a hybrid safety linebacker type player, but they do have like 3.5 safeties.
Yeah, so I expect them to maybe add another Raphael Bush type, maybe? In free agency, but I could also see them spending an early day 3 pick on a value at safety, given that Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer aren't old, but they are getting older. They're both in their late 20s, I believe. So you have to start to think about, okay, those guys only have a couple years left on their contracts. Let's develop someone behind them.
Yeah, I know Poyer has 2 years left on his, and I think Hyde does as well, and I think they also will both be 30 years old at the end of those contracts.
Okay, so age isn't really something we're worried about yet, but we know that Brandon Bean's pretty forward-looking, so now would be a good time if you can find, you know, some value, like in the fourth or fifth round, where the Bills have extra picks, to, you know, get maybe your future safety. Jordan Poyer was a seventh-round pick.
Yeah, and the Bills have enough draft picks this year to be able to do something like that. But as you said, it will be at the end of the draft. They're going to fill their bigger holes first. And I also want to correct myself real quick. Micah Hyde actually has 3 years left on his deal, and he'll be 31 at the end of that.
That's right. He gets a bit more money than Poyer because Poyer was a, you know, pretty under-the-radar player. So I think his contract was like $4 or $5 million a year, and Hyde was closer to $6 million, I believe, right, Nate?
Yeah, Hyde's 5 years, $30.6 million, and Poyer's, I just had up, Poyer's was 4 years and $13 million.
Oh, wow. Poyer is a bargain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He is significantly underpaid, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Bills extend him and give him a bit more money and keep him on the roster for like 2 years beyond the length of his current deal or something to that effect.
Yeah, that guy has been very, very good for the Bills, and he just kind of embodies this, you know, the spirit of this team. He just plays hard, kind of like Taron Johnson. He's not a huge guy, but just a high motor.
Yeah, he brings a lot to the team, and he's really, really good down in the box, and he's also good in coverage, and there's not a lot of safeties in the league that can do what Jordan Poyer has done, and he's definitely worth, like, his cash the next 2 years is $3.5 million this year, and then he gets paid, like, $2.9 million in his last year of the contract, and that's it.
Yeah, I would expect, maybe not this offseason, but the one after the Bills to expend him, or not extend him and give him a bit more money to reward him for his play, especially if, you know, that continues in this season. But if we notice a common theme of what we're talking about with the Bills starters in the secondary, Nate, they're all very good tacklers, even if they're smaller guys like Taron Johnson. So as we get closer to the draft, we can look at, you know, some value guys in the secondary in that draft that are pretty good tacklers that we think Sean McDermott might have his eye on.
Yeah, the Bills definitely value the ability of the secondary to tackle and tackle well. And all of the players, with the exception of Levi Wallace a bit at the beginning of his time playing last year, really don't miss tackles very often at all.
Yeah, so basically, long story short here, linebackers, defensive backs, you know, they're set at the starting positions. Don't be surprised if the Bills add some depth, you know, at linebacker and in the secondary, because, you know, you have to have kind of some succession planning going forwards and for both injury and age. So, Nate, anything else you want to add on those positions, or do you want to wrap it up and we can move on to some recent NFL news and, you know, what we would like to see the Bills do starting Monday here?
Yeah, there was a lot of news in the NFL today, and this week, and especially today, so I think we should spend some time talking about that to close out the pod this week.
All right, so I think one of the most shocking things I've seen, probably not the biggest news, was Nick Boyle getting $6 million a year for 3 years from the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm honestly not quite sure why he got paid that much. There was a chance that he would probably get a good offer in free agency. But at the same time, he's caught 75 total passes in his career, and guess how many touchdowns he scored?
I don't know.
Zero.
Wow.
He's a very good blocker, a very, very, very good blocker. But the other thing that confuses me, they must expect him to continue being a blocker for Lamar Jackson, because he caught significantly less passes once Lamar Jackson started playing quarterback than he had caught at any other point in his career.
Yeah, I guess you kind of have to look at context with this, that he's basically a sixth offensive lineman with Lamar Jackson as quarterback that can block for that running game. And I guess that makes sense if that's what they want to do for the next 3 years. But I'm not convinced, you know, running the ball 50 times a game is, you know, really a path forward to, you know, winning a Super Bowl. But it's not the Bills, so I'm not going to worry about what the Ravens are trying to do with their offense.
There was, however, a signing today, or I guess an extension today, that is definitely going to affect what the Bills do in free agency, and that was the Steelers extending Maurkice Pouncey. They essentially made his contract a 3-year, $33 million contract.
Yeah, and he's 29 right now, Nate, and that's the same age as Matt Paradis. So that kind of gives us an idea of the market for Paradis. We thought it would be somewhere around 5 years, $45 to $50 million. Do you think that's still reasonable, or is it higher now?
I think that the average money definitely goes higher. Paredes can't ask for what Pouncey got, but it sets a pretty good bar, and I think that there's a very good chance that Paredes can now ask for $10 million a year, or somewhere in between $10 and $11 million a year, and it's not crazy to expect a team to pay that much.
Yeah, and given that the Bills have a ton of cap space in 2019 and 2020, I would expect them to really try to front load that. If they're going to give him a 4 or 5 year contract, that way they have an easy out, you know, at his age 33 and age 34 seasons, you know, if his play isn't up to what they want it to be, or if he has, you know, trouble with injuries. But I think we're right there around 5 years, 45, 50 million, because Pouncey's probably a bit better of a center, and his contract's only 3 years, you know, with that average annual value of 11 million. So compared to us, really ask for 11 million for 5 years is not the same type of player, but pretty close? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think the only way he could probably get $11 million a year if he only gets a two or a three-year deal. Because there's a team out there that will pay him what Pouncey's getting paid, for sure, over 3 years. I just don't know if they would pay like $55 million over 5 years. I don't think a team will do that. But with the way the salary cap's gone in the NFL the last few years and how much it keeps going up every year, would it surprise me immensely if a team did give him like 5 years for $55 million or 5 years for $58 million? No, it wouldn't surprise me a ton.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good summary. Nate, We also saw that Albert Breer, it was on some sports radio show, said that he heard the Bills are very, very interested in Paradis and that the Broncos probably can't pay him what he's going to command.
Yeah, and that I think it was Benjamin Albright that said that. But, yeah, that is exactly that's exactly what it sounds like. And the Bills have they're one of the teams with the most cap space this offseason. So they can afford to slightly overpay for players at positions of dire need. And I would consider center a position of dire need.
Yeah, absolutely. It's probably, you can make an argument, it's almost as important as left tackle. Left tackle protects the quarterback's blind side on passing downs, but the center's really the quarterback of the offensive line.
Yeah, and I mean, there in today's NFL, too, the way that pass rushers work, and look at 95% of the best pass rushers in the NFL. Where are they lining up every single snap, or almost every single snap? On the right tackle. So there's an argument that the right tackle is becoming just as important as the left tackle, and then I would agree center is right up there. Like the ends of your line and the guy that snaps the ball are the three most important players on the line most of the time in this league.
Yeah, and you know, we saw a report from Jason Lockenfora, so take from it what you will. Yeah, I believe he has a reputation of not being the most accurate reporter. Is that right, Nate?
Yeah, that is correct. He has come out with quite a few scoops that turn out, or rumors that turn out just not to be true. So you do, but he has been right in other times when other people don't know things. So you do have to take you have to take everything he says with a grain of salt.
Yeah. So he said the Bills are expected to pursue Darrell Williams pretty heavily, the Carolina Panthers right tackle that we talked about on our last pod. And I'm all for that. I mean, the guy's coming off an injury, so you might be able to get him at a discount. I believe he's only 27. So, hey, lock the guy up for 4 years at, you know, maybe $7 million a year, $8 million a year. Who knows what he'll command. But it's worth it, I think, to spend big money on Paradis and Williams to shore up this offensive line.
Yeah, and then in the draft, you maybe add another guard. And you could also argue that the Bills, if they don't sign a Darrell Johnson, they can draft a tackle. And either move Deion Dawkins to right tackle, which I think is probably the wrong move. He was terrible when he had to play over there, and he's been significantly better on the left side. And this draft, like a Jonah Williams, to play right tackle.
Yeah, that it's going to be interesting just because we talked about this last pod, Nate, how hard it is to guess right on an offensive lineman in the draft. You know Darrell Williams is a good right tackle. So I think Brandon Bean's probably thinking, I'd rather have something that I know is pretty close to a guarantee of having, you know, above average tackle and have to pay $7, $8, $9 million a year for it, instead of, hey, we'll shuffle Deion Dawkins if we have to and try out this rookie that we have no idea how he projects to the NFL.
Yeah, and Darrell Williams is, SpotTrack says his market value is somewhere around $8 million a year. And so I think that is, so his market value is 4 years, $32 million or so. And I think that's a very fair contract for him. And I think he probably will end up getting paid slightly more than that.
Yeah. The Bills, there's a lot of teams with a great deal of cap space. The Bills are in third with about $76 million. The Colts have the most by far, but they don't need offensive linemen. The Jets do, so I could see the Jets really competing with the Bills for Paradis and Williams, but I think Bean's going to do what he has to up until a certain point to get those two guys.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. I think the Colts are, and I think the Jets are up, they're more likely to spend their money on skill position players, especially the Colts. I mean, the Colts have everything you need to win. They could just use a couple more really skilled players around Andrew Luck, and they have over $100 million of cap space to use, which is honestly kind of insane that there's two teams in the NFL that currently have over $100 million. Well, the Jets technically have over $100 million, but I guess their effective cap space is slightly less, but it's still nuts to me that's allowed by the NFL. I mean, I know there's a minimum spend. We don't have to meet the minimum spend every single season. And so it's crazy to me that teams are allowed to have that much cap space.
Yeah, when you look at, you know, that $100 million that they have, I think both of those teams have, it's not really $100 million. I mean, that's because of the rollover from last year. But if they spent all of that, that would put them over for next year.
Correct. They can't the Colts. So the way that I interpret it, reading the website over the cap that I was taking a look at earlier, is the Colts could spend all that money if they wanted to, they could spend almost all that money if they wanted to. The Jets cannot, and it's because of some dead money and the fact that some of the Colts contracts are gone after this year. Some of their bigger contracts are gone if they don't extend guys. So the Colts are in very good shape cap wise. Has Andrew Luck gotten his? He just got like a a $60 million deal. I think that not just in 2016. So they're gonna have to pay him soon, which is he got a 5-year $122 million deal 4 years ago now though. So they're gonna have to pay him again soon, and that's gonna eat up a lot of the money of their cap space going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I could see them making Luck the highest paid quarterback here, you know, when that's due, because a lot of the highest paid guys are in their mid to late 30s now, like Rodgers, Philip Rivers is pretty highly paid. Luck is still pretty young at 29. You know, you'd think as long as that shoulder stays healthy, he's got another 8 or 9 years left. He's probably going to get a mega extension, and you're right, Nate. They have to be a bit judicious with their cap space. I could see them being suitors for Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I think it's more likely that Le'Veon Bell goes there than trading for Antonio Brown. I think that I do think both of those, like the Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and Odell Beckham, who's another player, has been talked about getting moved. They all have various degrees of locker room liability, and I think putting them, multiple of them, on the same team is probably something that I don't think a team will do that. But yeah, I think the Colts are very likely to sign one of them. They will have to be a little careful with money in that contract, especially if, because Luck's cap number next in 2020 is like $30 million, so that's where I would imagine they're gonna have to restructure him extend him at that point to fix that cap numbers. So if they plan on spending a lot in free agency this year, that's probably something they're gonna have to do.
Yeah, I just pulled up Luck's contract. He's signed through 2021, so he's got 3 years. But you're right, Nate. His cap hit this year is $27 million. Next year is $28 million. So it goes down to 21 in 2021, but like you said, I expect them to do some sort of extension to make him probably the highest paid quarterback, but to spread it over, you know, a good chunk of time.
Yeah, that's something that I would imagine the discussions will start happening after this coming. It's not going to happen until the season's over, but that's a lot of times you'll see contract extensions when there's it's when there's 2 years left or only 1 year left on a deal. You'll see a lot of teams, especially with players, a franchise quarterback like Andrew Luck, you don't want them to get anywhere near free agency before you pay them.
Yeah, so, Nate, before we end this podcast here, what do you think is the Bills' number one priority for free agency here? And in your opinion, and what do you think Brandon Bean's going to try to do? Whether that agrees with your opinion or it's different.
So, in my opinion, the absolute number one priority is making sure Josh Allen is protected. And as we've talked about plenty of times on this podcast, offensive linemen are very difficult to draft unless it's a guy that, even in the top 10, but there it's harder to draft. But there's it's very rare there's an offensive lineman that you can say, okay, this guy's going to be a stud. Like a Quentin Nelson. Last year with the Colts, he was a guy everyone knew was going to be good. There's not a lot of guys like that out there, and so it's easier to find a guy like that in free agency. And so that's where I think the Bills need to focus their free agency time and money, is on upgrading the offensive line. And I think, and from what it sounds like in the media reports, that's what the Bills are trying to do.
Yeah, I agree. You know, this draft appears to be pretty deep at other positions of need, like defensive line, wide receiver, tight end. That's where, you know, when you think about constructing a roster, wide receiver and defensive linemen are, you know, outside of your quarterback, the players that typically have the biggest contracts when you, you know, sign them after their rookie deals. So I think Bean's going to be looking at that more of, hey, we can get some cheap contracts, take a chance on some young wide receivers, tight ends, defensive linemen, and pay for the things that are harder to find in the draft, like offensive line. Get that in free agency where it's closer of a guarantee. And those contracts aren't as much as relative to, you know, really good veteran wide receivers and defensive linemen. So when you think about constructing a roster, it makes more sense to pay up for offensive linemen, get young rookie contracts for your skill positions and defensive linemen. And I expect the Bills to follow that. That's what I want them to do. So I think number one priority, like you said, Nate, protect Josh Allen. Go out there, spend $20 million a year combined on Darrell Williams and Matt Paradis if you have to, if that's what it takes.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, and that's what I hope the Bills do. And it's kind of, it seems obvious to me when you look at where the Bills struggled the most last year. Their defense was very good, and 90% of that starting lineup on defense is going to be back again next year. So the defense does not need a ton of help, and the offense was brutal until the last, 6 weeks of the season. So just looking at it from that perspective as well makes me think, and I would imagine it makes the front office staff of the Bills think, we got to find more talent on a bunch of positions on offense. So let's hit that in free agency, and then we can also hit that in the draft.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good summary. For the first time, Nate, I think we are on the same track as what we think Brandon Bean is. You know, we had no idea last year when it came to quarterback. We thought Josh Allen was the last choice. It appears that was probably their top choice, but you never really know with Brandon Bean. He's got a lot of tricks up his sleeve. We'll see what he's going to do on Monday. I believe it's 4 o'clock that opens, Nate.
Yes. And the one thing that is guaranteed, I will guarantee this, is a player with a Carolina Panthers connection will be signed by the Buffalo Bills in free agency. Put it in the
That's almost a guarantee with Bean and McDermott. I hope it's Darrell Williams more so than Devin Funchess, unless Devin Funchess is really cheap. But I wouldn't be surprised if both of them are Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, that is the one calling card of Brandon Bean and McDermott, is they find guys that they liked that they met at their past jobs and bring them to Buffalo. And for some players, it's worked out. For others, it hasn't. But it's something they're obviously comfortable doing and are willing to do.
Yeah, so I'm getting really excited for free agency. It's, you know, outside of games, I get almost as excited for this as I do for games. And I think it's just kind of like it's almost like playing Madden GM, except, you know, we get to see Bean, Will, and Deal here and see what we can do to improve this team.
Yeah, this is the most exciting part of the NFL season, or the NFL offseason for me, is like the first few days of free agency through the draft is almost as exciting, at least for Bills fans who don't get to see a lot of winning most of the time, as the regular season.
Yeah, and this is the first time, you know, probably since the Mario Williams contract, that we've seen the Bills have money to burn in free agency. So for the first time in a long time, we might be hearing, you know, news about the Bills on day one of free agency, which hasn't really happened.
Yeah, I think the last time, 10 years ago, today actually, was when the Bills broke the news. Sal Capaccio actually broke the news the Bills were going to sign Terrell Owens, and then the Mario Williams one. So it's been two really big free agency announcements by the Bills in the last 10 seasons.
Yeah, Nate, so anything else you want to add before we sign off for this one? And, you know, the listeners can follow us along on Twitter.
I think we hit everything we want to hit. We got to talk a bit about the news around the NFL. The one thing actually we didn't hit on that I do want to hit on real quick is Case Keenum's on the move again, and he's going to the Redskins, which makes me assume that Alex Smith is definitely not going to be playing this season in Washington.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense to me why the Broncos paid a bunch of money for Case Keenum to, you know, go 6-10 or 7-9, whatever they were. Pretty much what we thought they were going to. It just seemed like kind of a waste of money, and it looks like the Redskins are kind of just going to waste another season going 7-9, 8-8 again with Case Keenum. It doesn't make sense why these teams are committed to staying in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, the Redskins are a prime candidate, at least in my opinion, to kind of tank this coming season. I mean, it's hard to truly tank in the NFL per se, but this is a good time for them to do this. They have a quarterback. They just need to fix a lot of other things on the roster, and bringing in a quarterback that you probably can't make the playoffs with and you definitely cannot win a championship with doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's a trap that a lot of teams fall into. The Bills did it for a long time until, you know, they ate a bunch of dead money when Bean came in, and now it's paid off because they can rebuild the roster. It looks like the Dolphins are all in on that method because they're just cutting everyone from their team today.
Yeah, and they're trying to trade guys they aren't cutting, like Robert Quinn, and I just don't see. I mean, the Dolphins, if all these guys get cut and traded, they could go like potentially 0-16 this coming season. It seems to me like they're trying to do that, so it wouldn't really surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, if they get rid of Tannehill, Robert Quinn, and believe they, I don't know if they got rid of Cam Wake yet. They were thinking about it, and they cut two defensive tackles as well. That team has no depth and pretty much no talent anywhere on the roster, except maybe Kenyon Drake. You're right, Nate. That team could be really bad. I think I missed it by a year when I picked the Dolphins to pick first this draft. I think it's coming next year.
Yeah, that's another thing that's also weird to me, because the best quarterback, class. Well, there you can get Tua, and then the year after that is going to be one of the best quarterback classes we've had in a long time. So they're basically, I would imagine, tanking for Tua this year.
Yeah, that would be my guess. You know, they could probably get a quarterback in this draft if they wanted, or maybe even trade for Josh Rosen if the Cardinals are willing to deal. But yeah, the Dolphins are doing what's necessary, you know, to go through the short-term pain to hopefully get better over the long-term. And that sets them apart from other teams like we talked about with the Broncos and the Redskins. So it'll be interesting to see if the Bills can pretty much pencil in two wins against the Dolphins this year.
Yeah, I think the Dolphins finally figured out what the Bills figured out two seasons ago. And it's not exactly the same blueprint, because McDermott came in and won, but they figured out that they need to just fix the cap, find a quarterback before they can actually win football games. So that is the most two most important things that a team can do, and the Dolphins have basically suffered through Ryan Tannehill since they drafted him, and I don't know of a ton of people out there who ever thought Tannehill was going to be that good.
Yeah, I mean, the guy was a wide receiver when he went to college, so I guess, from kind of the franchise standpoint, is Ryan Tannehill similar to Tyrod Taylor when he was with Buffalo?
Yeah, I would agree with that. You could make the playoffs with Tannehill. You put a good enough team around him, he can get you to the playoffs. He's not going to win you a championship, and he's not going to get you the playoffs by himself, which, if a quarterback can't do that, then you should probably look for a new quarterback.
Yeah, you shouldn't pay them. And you know, I've had a soft spot for Tyrod. I defended him his whole time in Buffalo. Never thought he really got a fair shake. But there comes a point where the guy's not good enough to make him the centerpiece of your franchise, and you have to move on. I hope Tyrod gets picked up somewhere where he can be a starter this year, because I still think he's a viable NFL quarterback, you know, to kind of bridge the gap.
Yeah, for teams that have a lot of, or all the other right pieces, or most of the other right pieces, a guy like Tyrod makes sense. The times it doesn't make sense for a team that doesn't have a lot working for them, or they're going to be bad regardless, which is kind of the situation the Bills found themselves in last year, which is why they understandably moved on from Tyrod, because even with Tyrod, the Bills would not have won enough games to make the playoffs. It just wouldn't have happened. They weren't good enough. So Tyrod needs to find the right fit. But there's definitely a team. There's got to be a team out there that's going to sign him and at least give him a shot.
Yeah, I don't get why the Jaguars, at the risk of running long here on this pod, I'll try to get through this quick. the Jags shouldn't be going after Nick Foles. We've seen Nick Foles when he doesn't have a good offense around him. He's been terrible everywhere he's gone, other than Philly, when he had a great offensive line and good skill position players. Why not go after Tyrod Taylor, a game manager that's not going to turn the ball over? That's what you need in Jacksonville. You have a great defense, or what was a great defense. Just run the ball, have Tyrod protect the ball, don't turn it over, win games 17-13.
Yeah, I would, if Tyrod had been the Jaguars quarterback the last two seasons instead of Bortles, I think 2 years ago they easily could have made the Super Bowl, and last year they definitely, I don't want to say definitely, but there's a very good chance they would have made the playoffs because Bortles was essentially the reason they lost 75% of their losses.
Yeah, Blake Bortles is really bad, and he should probably not be signed by anyone except to maybe be like a third-string quarterback. He is awful.
He's, I mean, the reason the Jaguars stuck with him for so long is every once in a while he'd go out and throw for 350 yards and 5 touchdowns, and be like, oh yeah, he could do that all the time, when really he has never proven that he could do that all the time.
Blake Bortles is the best garbage time quarterback in NFL history.
Yeah, it's crazy, but I'm looking forward to free agency starting next week. It's one of the most exciting times for a football fan, and the Bills, with the amount of money they have, we should have a lot to talk about in the next pod, or hopefully have a lot to talk about in the next pod.
Yeah, so I think you'll probably hear from us near the end of next week. You know, they can't officially sign anyone until Wednesday at 4. You can follow us on Twitter at Bills_breakdown, where we'll, you know, follow along with the rumor mill and reports coming out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But we'll probably take a day or two to digest everything and give you our thoughts. What do you say, next Thursday, Nate? So it'll be out Friday?
Yeah, that sounds fair. I think that sounds about right. We definitely want to give free agency a couple days to line itself up, collect ourselves, and have a thoughtful discussion about what the Bills did and could continue to do.
All right, so that'll bring us to an end of this episode of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am your co-host, Alex Pallinger.
And I am Nate Schreiber.
Subscribe, download, give us a rating wherever you get your podcast so it can help others find it. We see our downloads creeping up, so we appreciate that. Do us a favor. I mean it this time. Go and share it with a friend this week so we can continue to grow. This is an exciting time for football. People are looking for Buffalo Bills podcast if they're Bills fans. Even if they're not, share it with them. We'd appreciate that. We like doing this podcast for you guys, and we're glad that you listen. You can, like I said, follow us on Twitter at Bills_breakdown. Email us any of your thoughts, questions, comments as the news rolls in next week. BillsBreakdownPodcast@gmail.com. And thank you for listening.